Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Tuesday, July 30th, 2019. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good to be here.
It is good to be here. I was out yesterday because I was traveling home from MacStock. And hi to all my MacStock listeners. It was super fun to hang out with a whole bunch of you in person this weekend. Also with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Hello. I have a statement I'd like to read, please.
Okay.
Ooh, ping, pang, walla, walla, bing, bang. Thank you.
And thank you for that statement. It was enlightening, and all of our lives are the better for it.
Exactly. But Apple ping pang.
Yeah, we will be hearing something like that from Apple later today as people try to get them to discuss the new iPhone. Our first topic today is the Capital One hack, which is interesting in a few different ways. Right, Andrew?
Yeah, so for a while now, Capital One have been moving their systems over to Amazon's AWS, which is their cloud system, instead of using their own data centers. Now, on July 19th, they found out that an AWS engineer took advantage of some kind of firewall misconfiguration and stole a lot of data. So let me read. I mean, I won't include all the data, but it's names, addresses, zip codes, phone numbers, email addresses. But this is only if you have a Capital One credit card.
Okay.
So if you...
Or applied.
Yeah.
For a Capital One credit card data during this time.
Oh, okay. So you don't even have to have one in order to possibly have your data exposed.
If you applied for one from this company, from Capital One... Mm-hmm. Your data was probably also exposed.
Okay.
Between 2005 and 2019.
It also includes, if I remember correctly, Andrew, wasn't there like credit scores, some bank balances? And then, of course, for a limited subset of people, it was Social Security numbers and bank account numbers.
Yeah, so 100 million people in the U.S., 6 million people in Canada were affected. It could include transaction data, payment history, credit score information, contact information. So it's basically everything.
But then it was 140,000 people have had their Social Security numbers exposed. And 80,000 people had their...
And 80,000 bank account numbers.
So how do we know if we're merely in the 100 million or perhaps one of the select fewer?
Yeah, so in their press release, Capital One said they were email-affected customers. And I was a little mad because I have a Capital One credit card, and I feel they should have emailed their customers, you know, what happened, because I had to find this out through the news. Mm-hmm. So they said they would email customers who are affected. I don't know how long that process will take.
Mm-hmm. But they've known about it since the 19th, is that correct? So they've had 11 days already to deal with this.
Yeah.
Right.
And to be fair, they did react pretty fast, unlike other data breaches like Equifax.
Sure.
And
but it's also...
The woman...
It's also a 14-year...
by the FBI.
Yeah, that was the part that jumped out to me, was that the person who did it has been caught and, like, arrested. We don't generally ever hear that. But also that you said 2005 to 2019, so 14 years they sat around and, you know, peaked at with impunity. Because that's great news.
No, wait a minute. The There's no indication that the data breach happened over 14 years. This is the data breach exposed data from a 14-year period.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, this move to Amazon Web Services was, by definition, relatively recent within that 14-year period. Amazon Web Services didn't exist 14 years ago.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I was confused. Yeah, that's a long time.
They say that it's unlikely that the information was used for fraud or spread by this person, so I guess we just have to find out, wait, and take their word for it. Credit card account numbers and login credentials were not compromised, although I changed my password anyway.
Yeah.
So you can do that. So basically,
if anyone used, just use unique passwords, for goodness sake.
Right.
Yes. Use a password manager, please.
And also, it's a good practice to change it once in a while. I mean, especially if you're using a password manager, it's not like you have to type it anyway. So you don't have to remember, oh, I just changed this password and now, you know, I'm going to type it wrong the next four times until I figure out that that's what it is. It doesn't matter. If you're letting your password manager fill that in, it doesn't matter. You could change it every day if you really wanted to. But like, especially when there's a data breach like this, it's just kind of a good reminder that maybe it's time to change that password, even if you don't have a Capital One account, right? Because if somebody gets data from today and you have never, ever changed your password, then if they log into your account, they have access to all that data. So even if you just change it once a year, you know, it means that there's still an opportunity. It means there's a lot less opportunity for somebody to get into your account.
Yeah.
So it's always a good idea to check that stuff.
For what customers can do, besides, you know, just switching banks.
Besides get a new credit card. Yeah.
Yeah, Capital One is giving out free credit monitoring, which is like putting a Band-Aid over this.
Yeah.
You can check your banking statements and credit card statements, report any suspicious activity and purchases to Capital One. Mm-hmm. Probably the most important thing you can do is freeze your credit. I did that. It's easier than I thought. You can do it online. I think it took me about a half an hour to do all three, Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. And yeah, if maybe get a new credit card, close the one you already have, and change your password, like I said, just in case.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
I feel compelled to note that if you close a credit card account for whatever reason, that will usually negatively impact your credit score. So, you know, there's that.
Fun.
Yeah. Now, that's not the same as like just getting a new credit card issued for your account. It's a completely different beast.
Okay.
But closing a credit account, generally speaking, will negatively affect your credit score. Mm-hmm. So do what you do with open eyes, please.
Yes. Awareness is key.
And one last thing. So, you know, they have your phone numbers and email addresses. So be on the lookout for phone and email scams and phishing, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we've talked about those too. You know, if somebody walked up to you and said it in person and it sounds like it would be weird, it's probably it's also probably a scam in your email. There's a lot of ways around a lot of this. This is, you know, and like once that information is public, that's the kind of data that gets mined for like robocall lists and things like that, which, you know, Andrew and I have a special place for. I won't tell you where that special place is, but we have a special place for the robocalls. And when your phone number is exposed as part of this, that's generally how that information is obtained. And those lists are built and then people start calling you. So that's always nice. It's always good to kind of keep an eye on that. And you know, you should be kind of keeping an eye out anyway. Like, you know, if you never buy anything, say on the Android Play Store, and all of a sudden you've got a couple of charges from the Android store, like, don't wave it off. Like, go try and get to the bottom of it. Usually, because a common tactic is if somebody has credit card information for you, they will try a couple small purchases because they'll fly under the radar. Because you'll look at it and go, oh, a buck at the Google store, whatever. But that's how they know the card is valid and that they've got all the right information. And then they go start buying bigger stuff. And it's a lot harder to head that off than it is, I have a couple weird PayPal charges or something and I need to get that figured out. So keep an eye on it.
I forgot to mention, you can freeze your credit card, basically just pausing it so it can't be used anymore within the Capital One app.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good information.
That's very good information. Because not all of them have that. And so it's good to know that, that you can
have,
just...
Have you done that, Andrew?
No, but I probably should, because I really don't use that credit card.
Well, what I was wondering about is if it's flexible enough that you could unfreeze it to use it if you needed it, and then freeze it again without, like...
Setting off an alert.
Yeah, setting off an alert.
Or live on the podcast right now.
All right. Riveting podcasting, sweet. Listening to someone use an app. This will be great.
Making the sausage.
I know not everything has this, and you know there are a lot of credit cards that don't even have an app. So, you know, those are the kind of things that to sort of look at. Like I just spoke with somebody at MaxDoc this weekend who ended up leaving their credit union because every time they tried to explain security to their credit union was one of those like your password can only be a maximum of 8 characters. And you can't put anything weird in it. So they left. They're like 35 years been with this credit union and couldn't deal anymore with the fact that they were not interested in keeping my data safe. So I decided if they were that cavalier with my data, they could be that cavalier with my money. And I went somewhere else. So.
Okay. So I tapped on lock card. And then I got an alert that says we've hit a snag. And so apparently that doesn't work.
So, all right. Excellent. That's great.
Thank you for that report. Yeah. That live report.
Yeah. Thanks for messing with your personal finances for the benefit of all of us. I very much appreciate that.
Yeah.
All right. Good to hear. It sounds like Andrew, you're putting together a sort of like what we know so far piece.
Yeah.
Is that right?
And the list of everything I mentioned that you can do.
Yes.
Sweet.
Yes, and we will have a link to that in the show notes for people who want reference. We will have that available to you. And if you have a Capital One credit card and you did get an email about this or you have one you're thinking of changing, talk to us about it. You can email observations@macobserver.com. You can get us at TMO Daily on Twitter and you can leave comments in the show notes and let us know if this is a thing that's happened to you or if you have a good tip for keeping that data safe or if there's one that you like a lot better than Capital One because... the, you know, managing the card is easy on your phone, that kind of thing. We want to know. So our other topic today is Project Zero. And this was another one, Andrew, that's sort of right in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, so Project Zero is Google's security team. They've uncovered a lot of security bugs in...
It's a security research team, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they found security bugs in iOS, probably other operating systems too. I think macOS too. They recently found 6 what they call interactionless exploits. So it means that all they have to do is send some kind of a text message, I'm assuming with a link on it. Once you open the message, the malicious code will execute and do whatever. So 4 of the bugs, one of them, the details are kept private. So I'm assuming that might be the most serious one. So basically, they let an attacker leak data from a device's memory and read files off a remote device. And then let's see, what does the other two... Okay, so those were the other two. The 4 ones, I don't think there's a whole lot of details on those. I'm looking at them right now. But what was surprising to me was that these bugs are worth over $5 million.
Wow.
From Apple?
Yes.
Sweet. Wait, so like Apple doesn't really pay a whole lot. They increased what they were paying for bugs, a couple of years ago now.
Yeah.
How many total did they report?
Okay, sorry. So according to a price chart published by Zerodium, I've heard that name. I think they buy and sell exploits.
Yeah.
Let's see. It's like the quote from this article is from ZDNet says, it wouldn't be an exaggeration to say that these exploits are worth well over $5 million likely valued at around $10 million.
Yeah, okay, gotcha. On the open market, not from Apple.
Okay. Yeah.
But Apple theoretically would have paid a bounty to Project Zero.
Yeah.
For reporting these, theoretically.
Right. Because that is a common practice. Like, whether or not it's the going rate on the open market is a different thing, but there are bounties for bugs like this that get discovered. And this was
at the Black Hat conference in LA next week. There's going to be a talk about these bugs.
Okay.
So, and to our knowledge, Apple hasn't patched these yet.
As far as I know, they haven't.
Okay.
So let's hope that comes soon.
Yes. They did manage to turn around the Zoom situation pretty quickly. So hopefully this is one that can happen as well. Because this is the kind that's almost worse, because interactionless is pretty serious. Like, if I don't have to do anything to make that work, yeah.
There's a difference, actually, though. Apple solved the Zoom problem by removing third-party files. Without asking us. This is going to require a patch to the operating system.
Right, but I mean, they had that out for people very quickly. That's all
I'm saying it was much simpler, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
So in theory,
actually,
we could get it pretty quick.
Yeah. So they were patched back when iOS 12.4 was released.
Ah.
And the reason that there's not a whole lot of details about one of the bugs is because that patch didn't completely fix it.
Oh, ho.
Got it. Okay, so Project Zero is essentially revealing something they had already reported to Apple and that Apple had mostly but not entirely fixed.
Yeah.
It's kind of like being so mostly dead.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is pretty responsible of them when it comes to this sort of thing.
Right.
Sweet. Yeah. That's excellent.
Yeah. And it's good to know that, like, Apple was responsive about this, you know, when they discovered it. So as opposed to, like, the Zoom stuff, because remember, part of the reason we ended up finding out about the Zoom situation was because the people who discovered it went to Zoom and gave them 90 days or whatever to at least start working on getting something resolved. And I believe the two things they did were Diddly and Squat. And so that's how it became public.
You know, this really reminds me of that other surveillance capitalism company, Facebook, and all of the very many security exploits that they have uncovered and reported. Oh, wait, no, that's right. They haven't done any. my mistake. I get that state mixed up all the time.
Yeah. The difference between anything and nothing. I can see where you get those
right,
confused.
Yeah, it's my mistake.
Yeah, and this is sort of another, this is another one of those things. I'm going to channel my inner John Martellaro here and point out that this kind of thing is why it's important when there's an OS update to make sure that you try to get it applied in a timely fashion. And you know, it's good to do some of those because a lot of times those updates include things that are fixes for stuff like this, or things that are fixes for you know, other, like, closing other sorts of security holes or fixing up some of the flaws that sometimes get discovered. And we don't always get a lot of information about them because it could be really bad. You know, like they were talking about, the most serious one wasn't completely fixed, so we're not going to keep talking about it until it's totally done. So there's a reason that sometimes when it comes out, when you see the update and it says it's a security update, it's like, we fixed some stuff. Sorry to be so technical. Please hit restart and download the update. there's a reason those look like that sometimes. But definitely if they're security ones, they're ones that you really do want to make sure that you get installed as soon as possible. And for people who don't remember, there used to be a time when the only way you could apply an update was to plug your phone into iTunes. And over-the-air updates make this stuff a lot easier to take care of. So definitely a thing to do. And, you know, the nice thing about it is while you're applying the update and your phone is rebooting, you can't get any robocalls because Capital One let your phone number out. So, you know, think of it as 15 minutes of peace and quiet. It'll be great.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
So, Brian, got anything else you want to make sure people know on any of this stuff?
No. No, but I appreciate Andrew's work on this, Andrew. You have, as usual, done an excellent job of both alerting us and letting us know what we should know.
Well, so thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely props, because these were both things that you discovered, and it's nice to know. Like, I don't have any business with Capital One, so I'm kind of, this is one where I don't have to worry, at least, and I've never applied, so at least for the moment I'm solid there. But
that's good.
Yeah, today my data, you know, my data is reasonably safe, at least in this case. But you know, and getting the bug fixes out there, and yeah, I appreciate that more than having you write them up. I appreciate that you will come sit here and talk to me about it, so that we can let all our listeners know about the kind of stuff mm-hmm. that they need to watch out for. So it's always a good thing. So thank you both for being here today. Andrew, thanks so much for coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I'm going to let you get back to all the data breach information. And Ryan, thanks so much for being here today.
Yep, thanks for having us. Good stuff.
You can look for Brian later as we talk about the Apple earnings call. And there's an excellent chance that it will be one of our primary topics, if not our only topic, tomorrow, depending on what kind of stuff Apple says during the earnings call this afternoon. So remember that that's a thing that's happening. And with that, we're done. I've been your host, Kelly Gamon. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.